Hello, everyone, and welcome to this show. And today we've got Kiwani Lapsaritis. Have I pronounced that right?
Yes, Lapsaritis.
Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're an experiencer. You've wrote a few books. With your background, you're a holistic health consultant, master herbalist and master dowser with a background in anthropology, psychology and conservation and holistic health. But you have had a lot of experiences with Bigfoot. I first came onto you through a couple of other experiences here in Australia. I'm an experiencer myself. And so this is where a lot of people that watch the show, they expect what you will go into. They expect the unexpected, basically. They don't know what, you know, this is why I want to get us all together and try and get a format where it's a format to get information out of what people aren't getting elsewhere. I've been put onto your information from a few other researchers here in Australia that highly recommended you. I've watched a few of your things and seen, I read one of your books a while back. Now, you've also got a couple of books. I think it was the psych that I read, you got the Sasquatch People, and you've also got the psychic Sasquatch as well.
And their UFO connection.
And the UFO connection. That's right, yeah,
which most people don't buy into, and especially other conservative researchers. But those people have not done the research properly, and these are the things that I've discovered. I don't go for a week or two. I go for months at a time alone.
Well, I've actually brought that up before on the show. There's a lot of stuff, especially in the 70s in America, with the UFO and Bigfoot connection. I've had an experience myself in an area where there's lots of UFOs and Bigfoot in the last place I lived in Australia. I've mentioned this on the show before with a few people. So I've experienced two different types of Bigfoot. One had the red eyes and they were really big and sort of almost stick-like hair on them. And the other one I couldn't tell you because it was transparent, but it would walk with me all the time up to this caravan into the house where I was located. So I don't need to be convinced. The viewers can make up their own mind. We're going to have a conversation where we know what we've experienced. That's what I'd like to do, because you know what you've experienced, what you've researched. You're very grounded in how you present yourself. So would you mind giving the audience an overview, just a bit about yourself and how this all started to unfold for you, the Bigfoot experience?
Well, I started doing the research 58 years ago, and from the very beginning, I believed that the Sasquatch were a people, and so I went under that premise. I have to, at this point, make, again, a comparison with other researchers that were after an animal, a monster that didn't exist and still doesn't, and because if you aggressively go after this forest being, you're going to drive it away. Mm-hmm. So that's what most of them do, or they put trail cams out to get camera, you know, pictures. But the most of the time, the Sasquatch are there watching them do it, and also they can feel the slightest nuances from cameras and any kind of technology. So years ago, people say, all this new technology. And so the researchers were saying, well, we're going to get them now because we've got the technology. It won't work because they can read your mind. They can read the technology. Jeff Meldrum is trying to get money together for some kind of a dirigible, a small one with cameras all over it to control it. And he says, this is going to get him. We'll get the proof then. And it's still, he doesn't have it yet, but he'll never get it, because when I say that the Sasquatch are psychic, so are the Yowie psychic, so are the Yetis. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're all profoundly psychic beyond anything that the average person considers psychic. It certainly blew my mind. I had my first experiences with them in 1979, and it changed my life. And initially, there was an ET and a Sasquatch, and they spoke to me telepathically. I was not afraid, but I was confused and stunned, because I've never experienced telepathy before. So in doing so, I said, well, you know, no one's ever going to believe me, so I'm never going to tell anyone. Of course, I wrote two books, and it's been all over the world because they told me I was, they wanted me to get out here and into the public eye and world public to tell the truth and to stop the monster hunting, stop the violence towards them and each other. I mean, they think we're the most violent people they've ever experienced. So we really have to, in a sense, I'm learning from them, and they're very humble. They don't make plays on ego. Matter of fact, when they're speaking, they always say we, not once. In 36 years that they've been communicating with me, have they ever said I or me? So they have emphasized that we are all interconnected. But this is something that First Nations people in North America and even the Aboriginals people of Australia and many other indigenous peoples say we're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. So if you destroy one thing in the food chain, you're breaking things up and creating an imbalance. And if right now our planet is dying, it's dying. About 80% of the fish in the ocean are already gone. And this is happening quick because people keep multiplying. There's a demand for food and water. Water in many of these countries have been misused, and we've got water shortages in the United States. So we're in trouble. The world's in trouble because of mismanagement. We are very poor overlords. We just don't understand nature, and our science has not proven anything in terms of stopping any of this. I believe it was Swami Rama that said, when science starts to evaluate its lack of spirituality and starts to include it in its research, then it will truly become modern science. And you may say, well, wait a minute, what does religion or any of that got to do with it? It doesn't have anything to do with religion. It has to do with respect for all living things, period. No, there's no exceptions on anything. So this is why it's so important. It's the other researchers focus on the phenomena. Oh, I got all this hair. Oh, I got footprints. Geez, I had all that 35 years ago, and I had it examined and everything, and nobody was interested. And I mean, a top scientist, a forensic scientist that did work in, for FBI and Secret Service and all that, did all of this for me, but no one was interested. So I, as a social scientist, started to look at things more spiritually, and it turned into that I'm on the spiritual path, but I'm still doing the same things as before. The research, the thing is that now I'm talking directly to them. So this is different. However, I can't prove it. I'm not trying to prove it. I'm sharing. I've stopped trying to prove it. So if there's going to be any proof, it'll be the Sasquatch people themselves that want it.
Well, this is part of it. And they only connect just like the otherworldly beings that I've had interactions with. And I've done 7 books now and relayed a lot of what I've experienced in a few documentaries. And they are part of the cover-up in the sense of them keeping themselves unrevealed at the moment. And there's a purpose behind that. Like the Sasquatch, them saying, like, you're hunting us, you're trying to kill us, you're disrespecting yourselves, why would we want to communicate with you? And when people talk about disclosure, well, it's obvious the Bigfoot beings, they've got a dialogue with extraterrestrials and otherworldly beings. They are interdimensional, and it's because they've got respect, like you're saying. We don't have any of that, and that's why we don't have respect. And this is where, as a collective, we really need to pull our socks up and do something about that. So, you know, I totally understand with the evidence side of things. I personally have got so much video evidence of crafts and anomalous things and orbs in the house, and they know when you've put cameras up. I've got witnesses to events. But where does it go from there, which is the main point? You've got a dialogue going on now, and this is what it's all about. It's not about the evidence. So that does help in the body computer validate to somebody who is open-minded enough to look at the evidence, but why is this happening? And it's because there's something behind that, which is a oneness, an interconnectedness, which you speak of. Would you like to go into elaborate some more on some of the things that the Bigfoot have communicated to you and some of the experiences that have, of course, they're all mind-blowing and they help you evolve. And I guess the more that we learn, the more questions open up. But obviously they've used you as a vehicle to relay information and get stuff out there.
Yes. Before I do, I would like to say that I've documented 302 people, percipients, that have had mental telepathy with the psychic Sasquatch. 17% of them, there was ETs involved, either there and talking with them as well. It's happened to me. It's happened to my wife, Kelly. Many other people. Of these 302 people that I documented, let's say witnesses, three were physicians, one was an attorney, three were scientists, one a college professor, and then people from all walks of life. So it isn't something that, why would these people even come out to possibly hurt their reputations? They needed somebody to talk to say, look, this really happened. And I've talked to many people who says, I can't even talk to my spouse about it because either he or she gets afraid and doesn't want to talk about it. It gets too freaky for them. But for me, the paranormal has become very normal, very everyday, because at times they do talk to me and my wife every single day.
I totally agree with that. And I was just on a show, I think yesterday, where I was talking the same thing. We've got it going on all the time. People just aren't open with the dialogue in their mind with how telepathy really works on a thought pattern.
Right. Well, communication is the key to everything. If we could communicate better and honestly in this world, we wouldn't be in the fix we're in. With mental telepathy, you can think and say, well, I don't like that guy. You know, he seems okay, but I don't want nothing to do with him. If you were talking to a Sasquatch, he'd know exactly what you were thinking, and you can't, or, gee, I'm going to tell him this, even though it's not true or something. Sorry, you can't do that with a Sasquatch or an ET or anyone that can read a person's mind. So they said we're going into this realm more and evolving into this realm, but the people who are focused on violence, war, hatred, all of these negative emotions and are acting them out, it won't happen to them because they're of a lower vibrational frequency. This is actually what I've discovered, is that this is really part anthropology and part quantum physics, because they can dematerialize, they can walk right through walls and doors and come into your place. They're interdimensional, so they can leave their bodies anytime they want and have full control. They can telepath from one end of the planet to the other, and it's just as clear as a bell to the receiver. We have a lot to learn from these people, and yet we're driving them away. They told me back in 1985 that they were brought here millions of years ago during the time of the dinosaur. And they used the word seeded. And because, I had taught anthropology at a New England college briefly, and I have 4 degrees and all this kind of thing, well, I come from a Darwinian perspective. So what's he talking about seeded? I knew what he meant, but I didn't want to buy into it at first. And then he said, oh, well, that happened long before your people were seeded. And that got my attention. Totally confused me, and I didn't know what to think about it. It bugged me for weeks. Interestingly enough, 5 weeks later, this is in 1985, my best friend sent me a book called The 12th Planet by Zachariah Sitchin, which tells how people were genetically engineered. Now, this is all based on the Sumerian culture. The cuneiforms are their history. You can't change it. You cannot change what already has happened, and they have down in their records. And they even have the complete solar system mapped out. And it said what year that was. So a anthropologist took this information and brought it to an astronomer, and he plugged it into a computer, and it came that all those planets in the solar system back when Sumeria was a thriving culture was exactly where they should be. Well, how would these people know? They're living here down on Earth. How would they know unless they were taught or shown from people from elsewhere? So I had to piece all this together, and I was in and out of denial for a while because, again, my background.
So with this, you had an experience in the late 70s. You were studying, you were teaching, and then this started to unfold for you. Where did this pick up again down the track? Because obviously, like myself, when my experiences started to get full on, I went into research mode. And this is a never-ending thing that happens when you're experiencing what people like yourself have experienced myself. So where did this pick up? Obviously, there was a lot of research, but then there was this dialogue that started going on with the different species of Bigfoot, because you've had experiences not just with one type, but different types of species, and there's many out there. Can you go into how this unfolded from there for you, and how the research and the experiences went from that point onwards in the 80s?
Well, when an ET and a Sasquatch talked to me at the same time initially, like I said, I was confused because I've never experienced telepathy. But then they started to appear in my bedroom. I don't mean just appear where you think you see something. I mean, 2 days later, a voice said to me, "Wake up, my friend, we are here." That's verbatim. I was facing the wall and I was asleep, 3 o'clock in the morning. And when I woke, it woke me up. And when it woke me up, I thought, oh my God, I'm being burglarized. Someone's being funny and saying, "Hey, wake up, my friend," because I felt somebody behind me, an energy, a person. I turned around and there was a living Sasquatch apparition standing there talking to me. I could see through him. He floated down through the floor, so he was even with my face. And when I rolled over a little bit more in bed to try to get a better position to focus on him, he kind of pulled away a tiny bit and his whole face wrinkled up. And I was amazed to look at this living apparition with pupils moving back and forth and wrinkles in his face. So that was the true person, whether it was his true soul or what, but he had full control over it. So they started to visit me periodically, and I thought it was just for, like I said, a couple months, and that was it, but it didn't end up be that way. It's ongoing. And now, again, I've documented 302 people that have had that experience. My book, The Sasquatch People and Their Interdimensional Connection, there were 187 documented cases that I drew from for that book. And now it's three. And that was just when it came out in March of 2011. Mm-hmm. So already it's 302. And there's certainly a few hundred more out there that are having experiences that are not saying anything to people because of neighbors and people that might ridicule them. So I continued on from there, and every time I moved, I found that they would be there waiting for me. No matter where I went, even today, no matter what I do, no matter where I go, they're there, and they're, my wife, Kelly, and I do projects for them. So they want me to write 2 more books, and in between times, I had over 1,000 since in 36 years, over 1,000 psychic encounters. I've seen them 8 different times in the physical and hundreds of times where I could see through them and many times where I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I just see a giant outline of an energy there. So they, because the planet's dying, because World War III basically is starting, and it will start, it will continue, and because of the energy that we've created on this planet, it's karmic energy that people don't understand, and that it, and they talk about karma, okay? So kind of a group karma thing, those people that are plundering the earth, that are creating all kinds of environmental problems and human problems, they will, see what I want to say here. They're not interested in those people at all. They're only interested in people who want to help the planet, who are compassionate, who are care about other people, basically, and about the planet. And this is really important to them because these are full-blown people to the ETs and the Sasquatch. If you're not in that category, then you've got a lot of growing to do, kind of thing. Well, I've learned about this stuff, and I have to, I'm really critical of myself at times because I want to be, as Dr. Wayne Dyer says, he wants to be a better person today than I was yesterday, kind of thing. And the idea is that because you a person raises their, you could say spiritual vibrations, but in terms of quantum physics, that you're increasing your vibrational frequency. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I don't know how it's done, but an ET and a Sasquatch can pick out a person, I mean, across the planet anywhere and go in and interact with that person. If you don't have some of those qualifications, they're not interested. That's how it seems to work that I discovered.
Yep, no, they're definitely on the, you know, you're on the mark from what I've experienced with that too. It'd be good to, I've had a bloke called Steve Harrison, Mick, we call him, on the show. He's very similar to yourself. He's in his 50s and we've become good mates. And I've done, I think, three shows with him so far. Might have been two, actually. And he's having a lot of people coming to him either about big cat stories or Bigfoot stories. And he's had experiences with Bigfoot himself. And I might see if I can get him to email you sometime because he's got a lot of, in Australia here, we're in Melbourne, the bottom part of Australia, he's got so many people that he's not even trying to talk to Bigfoot about anyone, but people just come to him. These people from his work, he works at in an ambulance. And people will just happen to tell him about a UFO or Bigfoot or big cats, but mainly it's big cats and UFOs, Bigfoot and big cats. So it'd be good to actually try and hook you guys up because you might have some data where you've got a good catalogue of data already. With the Bigfoot part of things where you were seeing it as an apparition, people need to understand that these beings are master beings. They're very advanced and very in tune that they can literally leave their body astrally and could go and project fully themselves to you as that apparition. Or they could project that. There's many different multiple ways these beings can do it. So these beings are very, they're very in tune, very connected to the planet. The ancient ones here, I know you talk about ancient ones, but if we go back to the ancient humans here, they're very, there was a connection there. They had respect for each other in the older times. What's some of the stuff that's connected with talking to some, whether it's Indians or Aboriginals, that's correlated with what you've experienced in terms of maybe folklore, which isn't really folklore, it's really truthology, I would say. Has there been any connections that you've come across like that, that what the ancients have said to you, like people from the Indian groups or Aboriginal groups, whatever, that are correlated with what you've experienced with Bigfoot?
Well, they haven't spoken about anything other than local things in terms of sometimes they'll help out in the family and make some suggestions and those kinds of things, but they've never mentioned anything about Yowies or yet. One time about the Yetis, they did. A female said, told me back in 1986, she said that there were, that they had access to 8 different dimensions, and that there are 7 different races of these people, their people, worldwide. Mm-hmm. They said some are small, like about 4 feet tall, some are 5 feet tall, and so on, and larger and larger. And they said the woman, she's a woman, she's a female, said that the Yeti was the least evolved of all of their type of people. Mm-hmm. And however, I've read works that about Australian Aboriginal legends and so forth, and they say that the Yowies are called the Dulaga, sometimes Dulagin, depending on the tribe and the language, are here to teach people. And we're teaching them about the earth, and they go back and forth with their friends, the star people, in the ships. They do sometimes, but they're mostly here. I don't understand a lot of that still. They said they would like to take me. They took me twice, but erased my mind. And the ETs took me, I don't know, over 20 times. I can't remember. And that's okay. It's not an abduction. Mm-hmm. They're doing a DNA upgrade, they said. Plus, when I was sick in 2012 with a brain tumor, the Sasquatch told me different things to take, and which I already knew a lot of that, and laid all the stuff out, and then they told me to take one more herb. But it was going so slow that the ETs intervened, and they took me 6 times and dissolved the brain tumor.
That's amazing. So, I personally have heard from, I've got, again, Mick and another friend up in Sydney, they've talked to Aboriginal, my mate in Sydney's talked to Aboriginal elders, and there's a cave apparently where they interact with, they call them the hairy people. So it's a different type. I'm not sure which species it is. I know people that interact with the small hairy people as well. There's been a few experiences actually around the area I'm living in now, which the bloke Mick I mentioned have talked to a person about this, which apparently there's some hair sample. But in where I was in Queensland, again, the type I interacted with, it was a portal type area. And so many people kept on saying this is a portal area. And then I found out later a huge history about Agnes Water in this area. And it was very similar because I was shown with the Bigfoot with red eyes and they were hairy, but it was like sticks. I didn't get a negative vibe from them at all, and others have reported a negative vibe. I did not get that from this species. It was a veil between worlds that I saw basically the dimension they're in. It was like I was taken in that for some time and then popped back out. I got no information, but there was one that I was interacting with daily. I never got to see its true nature. I only heard one audible noise once. But this thing was huge. I couldn't even give you how tall, but I'd have to say at least around the height of a basketball ring. So we're talking about 10 feet. And this thing showed as an apparition, but it would walk me home every night because I lived on a 40 acres, and where the house I was at, I had to get back to my caravan. But there was like a spiritual knowledge of transfer about their people, which from my understanding in time, I would understand it. It's like it had to come into this realm, the information they gave me, little bits at a time. So how they work is slightly different from each race, and that's I never expected in a million years after my experiences with ETs that I'd be having experiences with Bigfoot, but sure enough, it did happen, which dragged my interest further into what you do. What would you like to go into with the Bigfoot and UFO connection? Because this property I was on, anybody can go to the website and see the amount of footage I filmed at this place. There's a connection there. There is a connection there.
Oh, definitely. Yes, and one of the key things is in 1983, I was researching in Wisconsin, and I found out about an area where they were seeing the Sasquatch. So I went out there and with a friend, and we talked to some people who had a farm, and in my first book, I wrote a chapter, I have a whole chapter on it called Sasquatch in the Pickle Patch. In the evening, just as it's getting dark, a family of Sasquatch would come into their garden and pick their cucumbers, what they use for pickles. So after that, they started to plant more rows so they could continue to feed the, there'd be enough food for them and for the Sasquatch family. So they did that. Now, I went exploring in that area and found an old abandoned monastery. And I walked through it, and when I went downstairs into the cellar, which I was told had a big root cellar in it, there was a Sasquatch down there. And he told me that his people are there all the time in that area, and that he says in two nights between 11 and 1, a spaceship will be landing and dropping off some of my people. This is what he said. So at that time, I had to go back south to Milwaukee in order to go back to work. And so I told the family that was helping me that not to tell anyone that I'd come back. But they told everybody, their neighbors, their friends, everyone. Well, it ended up to be the best thing that ever happened. Because when I went back up there, this group, there was a group of people got together with two carloads, 11 people, and they went riding the back roads in that area to see what they could see between 11 and 1. And that's valid. That's a good way to do it, of course. But they went around a bend in the forest, and there was a field there, and there was a spaceship sitting glowing in the field. And the spaceship went straight up in the air. This is not like miles away or anything. This is right in front of them. Went straight up in the air and disappeared. And just as the second car was pulling up behind the first one and the light shined into the field, they saw a 9 to 10 foot Sasquatch just came from where the ship was walking into the woods. 11 witnesses. Now, I interviewed every single one of them privately. And they all told me the same story. Nobody varied at all. So there's these things are happening. And there's a contactee that was being approached in Orth, the state of Oregon. His name is Andy. And he was having telepathic experiences with the Sasquatch. And then all of a sudden there were two or three, it varied for a few times, they had these small ETs with them. So they all talk together. So there's certain people that they feel so comfortable with that they will open up and talk, and other people they won't get near, and the other person doesn't have a clue that they even exist. So it's interesting. It's either, you know, people having these experiences or many of the researchers just not having anything. One researcher, after over a half a century, found four tracks, and that was all. And then the person wrote a book on how to find Sasquatch. So I don't know if he hadn't found them, I don't know how he could write a book about it. But these are some of the things that happen in this field, and people want something that badly, and I can see their frustration, but it has to do with them, not the Sasquatch.
It does.
And that's
it does.
What they don't understand. Whatever they plan using maps in their home, they are unwittingly projecting on an unconscious level. They're telepathing to the Sasquatch, forewarning them in that area that they're going to go into. This is how it works. This is why there's no success with these, you know, the hunters and other people that are trying to exploit them.
Well, they're dealing with a high level of consciousness that can foresee any of this. And as you said, whether it's on the subconscious level, that's already connected if they go into that area. They're going to know exactly what the hell is going on, if anything's going to be pulled, and also the intent behind it. And if with pure intent, you know, anybody can have it as long as their vibration's at the right state. But if you haven't got that and you're coming from a place of not love and you're not in the heart, you know, they pick up on that. Would you mind relating to us some of the different species that you've interacted with, and maybe if you know where they're from, and if not, that's okay too, because we can only relay what we know from experience. But would you be able to relay some of the types of species that you've interacted with? Or that you know
some of the
species of Bigfoot, different types of Bigfoot that you've interacted with, even other ones that you've heard of as well, if you want to.
Well, I've interacted. I started with the Sasquatch people, and the Sasquatch again range anywhere from 15, 16 feet tall, and I mean this, no exaggeration, but the average is about 8 to 10 feet. Seems to be pretty much the average that they, you know, that they see. And they have a conical head, and which anthropologists call a sagittal crest, and then their arms go down to their knees. Now, and they have an ape-like face, but don't be fooled. They're very, very human. They're more human than we are. They're about 100 times more evolved. They don't go around murdering each other, and they don't start wars, and they don't destroy the environment. I mean, they got everything going for them, and if you want to compare them with us, we lose. We're the bad guys. So then there's the ancient ones, which I'm more closely related to, though I interact with both, just like my wife does. And but the ancient ones are also large and hairy, but their arms are in proportion to their bodies like ours. They have a round head. They don't have a conical head. And they have a human face. And the face doesn't have any hair. The men may have a tiny mustache or a little goatee or something of that nature, and some none at all. But the women are beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And they have hair all over their bodies, breasts, everywhere, and they are, I mean, they could, if some of these women, when they're young still, and I've met them young and met them older too, the ancient ones, if they have and walk down the street,
We just had the computer freeze for a second. It's just froze. We were up to the part where if you saw them down the street, the females down the street, if you could take it from there, it was only about 20 seconds of freezing.
Oh, I see. Okay. That if a smaller one that is our size, ancient one, a woman, were to put on a turtleneck sweater and a coat and hat and gloves and everything and walk down the street, you would just glance over and say, oh, what a pretty lady, you know, and that would be about it. That's how they could blend in. But of course, again, they don't wear clothes. They do have a tremendous sense of humor. So I've interacted with 7 different races of ETs, and with, again, the ancient ones, which at a distance look like Sasquatch, but they're not. Again, they're called the ancient ones. They call themselves that. Now, they really have a fantastic sense of humor. And when my editor was with me, visiting me, she camped out for 3 days at my cabin and wanting to have an experience because they were there all the time. So nothing happened. And I told her, well, after we eat, that I always go for a long walk afterwards. So every evening we went for walks and we would talk about all this. Well, when I was a assistant professor teaching, I would give examples of things by storytelling. So I would tell theory, but then I'd always go into an example and by telling a story. It just seemed to be natural for me. So I did the same thing with my editor while we were walking along in the woods there and talking. And I'm trying to explain to her. And I said, wait a minute, let me explain this. And I started a story. Well, in the middle of the story, two ancient ones were about 6 or 7 feet behind us, but they were invisible. But my whole body was vibrating. I mean, like, you know something's there because you can't focus because of this powerful vibration. So I stopped and I said to my editor, I said, oh, did you feel that? Do you feel them? She said, what are you talking about? I said, well, there's two of them right here, but they're invisible. But can't you feel them? My whole body's vibrating. No, I don't feel anything. Well, we were going back and forth, and all of a sudden, one of the ancient ones said, never mind us, finish the story. So they follow me and they got a little bored. They enjoyed the story, and right in the middle of it, I cut it off and I was talking about them. And they go, oh, never mind us, just finish the story. So they have a sense of humor. They're very loving. Now, there are people that have had negative experiences with them, but these people, when I asked about it, we had a campfire down by the lake, and we had a case of beer and a quart of whiskey, and we were that doesn't work for the Sasquatch. Mm. If he has his family down there, he doesn't want you down there because they use the lakes at night. And so they start throwing rocks and drive those people out. They don't hit them. They could easily, but they don't. And they stomp around, push a tree down, and growl and those kinds of things. And the people leave. And they go, oh, my God, we're going to be attacked. No, it doesn't happen. There's a guy that told me he was attacked by a Sasquatch. And I said, and you're still here? You know, kind of thing. And I said, tell me how he attacked you. He says, well, he said, I live in the country, and I was working on my motorcycle in the garage, and I felt somebody watching me, and I looked in the open door of the garage, and there was a Sasquatch standing watching me fix my motorcycle. So this happened twice. And then one evening after dinner in the summer, he went for a walk on a trail and back. And he said, a Sasquatch stepped out. And I said, then what happened? He says, well, he attacked me, so I ran home. I said, really? Well, how did he attack you? Well, he turned and started walking towards me. I said, well, he turned and started walking towards you, but he didn't attack you. So the fears, people distort all these things and give them a bad rap.
Yeah, it's a projection of themselves with that type of thing. Have you heard of white-haired or transparent-haired Bigfoot?
Transparent.
Yeah, well, basically, like, they've got hair, but it's see-through hair. It's, like, not even a color. It's, like a white see-through hair. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
No, but I've had people tell me that they were standing in the barnyard, and all of a sudden, two legs walked right by him, but they couldn't see from the waist up.
Yep.
Another time, the same person heard some noise, looked around, and there was a large tree there, and this giant arm of a white Sasquatch put its arm around the tree, and then all of a sudden it blipped out.
Yep.
I've seen them dematerialize twice right in front of me.
Right.
So they can do these different things, apparently, and he couldn't see the rest of the Sasquatch, but he could see the arm.
And there are white-haired ones, isn't there? Which
yes.
Have got white-colored. Yeah, and there's red. There's different species, isn't there? Like different colors and different colored hair.
My own guide, his name is Snowhawk. He's 10.5 feet tall, and he's blonde, kind of a darker blonde, but even blonde, and his family are the same way. And he has a braid going down one side, and he's an ancient one, so he's got a human face. He's handsome, and because the ancient ones look so much like us, I asked a shaman, a woman shaman named Haloti. That's, incidentally, the ancient ones and the Sasquatch have their own language. So the Yeti and the Yowie have their own language. So this is, I want to make that clear because that's important to know. And they have the ability to speak verbally, even though they do it poorly, but to each other. And I've heard their language. It's very, very strange. But they can telepath as well. So why both? I don't know. But I asked Haloti about evolution and some of the things that, you know, how about this planet. And she said, this really surprised me. She said, you were us before the last ice age. You were us before the last ice age. And for a long time, I didn't understand. But it's, you know, in other words, their DNA was used to create us by the ETs. Because even a Sasquatch said to me that when things get real bad on the planet, the beings, that's the word he used, the beings that created your people will come and help you. So I accept the fact that, for example, the Dogon people of West Africa, and that have a very sophisticated culture.
Well, they knew about this Sirian star system and an extra star there when you couldn't even see that.
Yeah. And we label, you know, African people primitive and that kind of nonsense. A lot of racism still out there. But so where did those people come from? A certain group from somewhere in the star system in the constellation Sirius brought them here. And because it was a good place for them, whether they were living on another planet and were brought there, or that were created, genetically engineered, that is, and brought. And then how do we understand the Chinese or the Japanese or any of the other races? Even, of course, the First Nations people here in America, they all say, you know, that their people were brought here. The Great Lakes Woodland Indians called themselves Anishinaabe. And if you go into the Plains Indians, they call themselves Anishinaab, and so on. It's just very similar. And it means I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, but it basically means we the people who have come far from beyond the sun. That's what it means. But anthropologists say, oh, it means the first people. That's it, you know. But no, it goes beyond that. And we must look beyond that if we're to understand ourselves and everything that's going on here around us. And it's a very volatile world right now that we live in.
With your research and everything like that, where's everything leading to at the moment for you? Like I've said to people, even with myself, as soon as you learn something, it opens up a billion more questions. But where are things for you at the moment? How's the experiences going on for you? Like you said, you've got them going on daily, which is a thing for me. Obviously, they're using you as a messenger to relay to the people of Earth what's going on, and there's lots of people having experiences around the planet, but you're in the public eye. Where are things at today for you in terms of experiences and the information and how you're dealing with all these?
Well, I'm dealing with it fine. It's, you know, very natural for me now. If they comment to say something to me, or if I get up in the morning and they say good morning and I say good morning, even though I don't see them, and I might say to Kelly, my wife, a snowhawk's here. She said, oh, good morning, snowhawk. And we just keep going what we're doing. And it's just a nice feeling, you know, that people care that much and they want to guide us. My wife is writing her own book because of her experiences, which were different than mine. And then it merged with me eventually. So all of this is, they want to come out, but they don't want to come out and get shot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to do that, they're working through several people, not just me, but they'd had to use the word that I'm the leader or the person spearheading this. But there are many others that are good people that are experiencing having the telepathy. Some of them wrote books and so forth, and to get this out. Mm-hmm. Of course, people can go to my website, the psychics, the Sasquatch people at hotmail.com or the Sasquatch people.com.
And that there will be a link below this video when people are watching this, or where they can get the audio version, there'll be a link directly to your website as well.
Yes, the Sasquatchpeople.com, but I have a second website that's the psychicsasquatch.com. The psychicsasquatch.com, my second one. And there's other people on there that are having experiences like myself. And they're writing books, and some of the books are out now so that people can continue to get information from, you know, the forest people. They want to take me through a portal to another dimension, and when I come back after living with them, they want me to write my third book about it. And then they said my fourth book would be all photographs. So they feel that it can all be done this year. So I do too, in understanding what they want, and it won't be as big or as thick as my other books or anything, but they consider it extremely important. They have so much to share to help the planet, because they're the ultimate environmentalists, so to speak. They can tune in to any part of the planet, the earth, rocks, plants, animals. They're just incredible in what they can do. And so because they're 100 times more evolved than us, at least but we are racially prejudiced against them. The average person sees them as an animal or a monster. Mm-hmm. So how do you get some kind of communication going?
Yeah.
You don't, because people are too afraid.
You can't. You're on totally different wavelengths when if you're trying to do that. It's just not going to work.
No, it's very touchy, but they're in control. I made some suggestions to them, mm-hmm. and this is what they said. They said, little brother, please keep in mind, it is us that is directing you, not you directing us. Mm-hmm. So I shut up after that. And then, you know, they said it respectfully, but I was throwing out ideas, and they've already worked together with ETs, and they have meetings, big meetings, and they have their own council of elders that they sit and discuss, should we do this, should we do that? And one of the things that they wanted people, their own people, to do is to contact more people. And that's what they're doing.
Have they really relayed to you at all? I know that some are from other dimensions on this plane. Have they relayed to you any of the extraterrestrial Bigfoots? And then there's extraterrestrials that are totally different, and they're all interdimensional. They've all got the interdimensional aspect. But have they mentioned any of the species mentioned to any other star systems or constellations that they're from? Again, I know some of them are right beside us right now as we speak in this dimension. They're just phased out. But is there any from other places that you know of?
Well, the answer is no, I don't know that, and they haven't discussed that. Lately, I've just been getting just a lot of basic stuff from them. Mm-hmm. And however, from another, I believe it was a year and a half ago, another contactee that was meeting with the Sasquatch and would relay messages from time to time, because we share information, other contactees. And they said that they were somewhere in Arcturus, somewhere out there exploring. And it sounded like almost like Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, it was a type where they're exploring another part of the galaxy. And they were exploring, and they got too close to a planet. This is a huge spaceship with 1,500 people in it. So there were some Sasquatch, some ancient ones, and many different races, just like on Star Trek. And they got too close, and it had this particular planet, whatever the mineral content and everything, had a greater pull. and it pulled the ship right in, and it crashed into the sea. And immediately, other ships came to help. And some of these ships can go right underwater easily. But they said there's nothing they could do. They lost many of their friends, and that there were monsters in the water, too, that they had to be very careful. And that's all they said about another star system to another contactee that I'm aware of.
Do you know
they're mostly concerned
about... Sorry, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, they're mostly concerned about dealing with our planet because it's dying, and we've got radiation all over the planet now. It's all through the oceans of the world, and there's animals coming up on shore along the West Coast all the way up to Alaska. And it's been going on now for a couple of years where they're you know, dead walruses and seals and your sea otters and so forth. Many of them have tumors on them and they're deformed and stuff. This is all from Fukushima. And incidentally, we have Hanford here in Washington State on the Columbia River that's been leaking for 11 and a half years now.
Jeez.
Nuclear waste, because they can't get to it. They can't do anything to it. So what about all the other nuclear power plants? They're not talking. There's leakages in them as well because it's the same stuff they're using. And what about the one that they built on the San Andreas Fault in California?
Which is the most ridiculous place to put one.
Yeah, these people need their head examined. Mm. So there's a lot of crazy stuff that the government and different corporations do. And I don't know if they do it for convenience or what, but they're responsible. We're stewards of this planet. And these people who are running the governments of the world are not doing their job. These things are horrible. Everyone should be working together to help when Fukushima, you know, had that problem. But we shouldn't have been there to begin with any kind of nuclear power
exactly.
plant.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
There's free energy in other forms. Yeah.
We've had solar energy. But they want to make money on people. And that isn't what this world's about.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree on that.
Yeah, the Sasquatch told me, it's been about a year and a half ago, he says, you know, greed is the key to all this. He says, that's what started this whole thing. Greed, greed for power, greed for money, greed for materialism. And it's created a mess. And now the planet's dying, and we're fighting over resources, though they don't tell you that. They're fighting over resources.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's going on. We look at the Amazon and even here in Australia what they're doing to certain areas, and it's just no wonder a lot of these otherworldly beings just aren't coming forward in whatever format. Why would you want to? And this is where people need to work on themselves before trying to get any dialogue going on, because once you work on yourself, then you can go out with, you know, outside of yourself. But people need to realize that. Just a quick question before we go. Mick, who I was talking about that I've had on the show, he got a photo on the property that I was living on before I was even on this property of a tree bent over. I don't know how the friggin' thing wasn't snapped. And there was a twig that was an S hanging off the tree in the middle of a drive. Like, it was a driveway in 44 acres. It was all bushland. And there's a tree perfectly bent over. And in the middle of the tree, again, is like an S. And my mate who owns the property, who I also had on the show, Giles, he started calling Mick Sticks because he's had experiences with Bigfoot and Sticks, and them leaving him in certain areas and just letting him know, you know, we're here, mate. You know, we're here, you know, keeping an eye on what you're doing. Have you had any experiences yourself or talked to other people where they've done this weird either wood knocking or bending trees or sticks like that?
Yes, that's fine in terms of evidence, but it leads nowhere. It's nice, you know, if you've
never found
anything, then it's kind of cool, you know. But I'm interested in the communication and helping them. And, I've got pictures in my books of the different tree. I don't know what you call them, really. They're almost like a teepee, but there's no nothing – no canvas around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And yes, I've heard over and over again them hitting rocks, why they do it. Several things I've always wanted to ask them, but you get busy, and when they come, it's something important. And these trivial things, They're not interested. Yeah. It doesn't matter to them. They don't care. They got an agenda here, and they're trying to save the planet. And they only want to deal with people who also want to save the planet, those that are entrenched in materialism, capitalism, and all that. Why talk to them? They've already made their bed, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I understand. People have asked me similar questions, and it's like when you're having an experience, it's the last thing on your mind. It's sort of sit down and shut up and take in whatever they're trying to relay to you when you're having an experience. So it's the last thing. Now, I'll have links up to you, to both of your websites. Is there anything you'd like to leave the people with or to leave them with in their minds before we end the show now?
Yes. I mean, without sounding airy-fairy, you know, it's everything boils down, again, to love. Now this, you know, what scientist talks about love? That they did some kind of a study with instruments, and the pulse of the earth, the vibration of it, is the same as love vibration. Now I don't know how they measured that, but that seems to be a key thing. So those that are enveloped in this and are attuned because they walk in unconditional love will have the most experiences. Now, if people can let go of their negativity, it's difficult. I mean, I had to work on myself too. Nobody's exempt from this. And to let go, and the more you let go of the negativity and the emotional baggage that's bogging a person down in life, and realize that there's so much more out there, they could move on and start evolving, and that is increasing their vibrational frequency. Negative emotions, anger, hatred, resentments, jealousy, all these things are really downers, very low vibrations. So if people can be aware of that and to let go of petty things, because if you hold on to it, you might hurt someone with it emotionally, and you don't need to do that. And if you do that and you start letting go and walking in unconditional love and seeing a plant or a flower, it's, God, it's beautiful. I sure love that plant. And if you start doing little simple innocent things, you raise your vibrational frequency and people start having more experiences because it's there all around us. It's us that's not on the right, in the right channel, and you can place yourself in that channel, again, letting go of negativity and focusing on love, and it's in a different context that most people think of. Mm. So, but it's the most important thing I could ever say, because this is what the emphasis is with the Ancient Ones and Sasquatch people.
Now, well, look, that's perfect to end the show on that note. I 100% agree. And thank you for taking the time out for the viewers and the listeners of the show. I really appreciate you taking the time. It'll be good to connect again sometime and go further into some of this and any other books in the future that come out and you want to talk about them. Even with Kelly, when she's got her book out, let her know. I'm more than willing to have her on the show. It would be an absolute pleasure. So I'll wrap it up there, mate. But again, thank you very much, and there'll be links to both of your websites.
Yes, and if people want to go to my website, again, it's SasquatchPeople.com and also PsychicSasquatch.com, the two different websites. And thank you so much, and God bless everyone.
Thank you very much. Cheers, mate.